Morning, Lou. Welcome. This week's podcast. How are you?
I'm good, thanks, John. Yeah, it's
a busy week. You've been very busy, haven't you? So you were saying.
Yeah, it's very busy culturally in Southsea and Portsmouth at the minute. There's an awful lot going on, and it's been like that since the beginning of the summer. And it's exciting. It's amazing. There's lots of things going on. So this weekend on Saturday at the D-Day Museum, there's going to be 20 artists that have been brought together by a company called United Creatives. And they're working with the South Sea Coastal Scheme to bring like art and culture into the whole development of what's going to happen around the seafront. Nice. So people can pop down this weekend. I think it's on for a few days, and I've written a post about this so people can check everything up on the website. But there's really amazing artists, like there's going to be My Dog Size, Fark, Rua Brook, amazing people, artisans from Hot Wall Studios like Alice Hume and Kim Edith. And there's 20 altogether, so it'd be really nice for people to pop down and go and look at that. So, yeah. So apart from that, yeah, there's lots happening. How about
that Hot Walls? The Hot Walls is amazing. I was down there a couple of weekends ago and got my first Christmas present. That's very early Christmas shopping down there, and Christmas cards. Sorry,
is that early for you?
That's very early for me. That is almost never heard of. My first Christmas present in November, so that was great. And yeah, I've been busy. I went over to St Malo on the ferry for the first time in years over the weekend. It was so lovely to get back out there, because that's one thing I would recommend to anyone, is just get the ferry, the Brittany ferries, get them from the harbour there, get an overnight, get a cabin, go over to St Malo, have a day there, and then come back again. It's an amazing way to spend your weekend. So I did that. That was a lot of fun. And also one thing I was going to mention, they're going to do the pop-up thing again, aren't they? The pop-up shops, you know, they did in Debenhams last time. Do you remember
We Create,
that's happening again. So
yeah, part of we'll do a feature on that, John.
Yeah,
part of the We Shine exhibition that's going to be on in Portsmouth. So yeah, that's really exciting. Yeah, we've got lots to talk about, but we've got a special guest on today. So we'd like to welcome Joe Bushnell from Aspects Gallery. So welcome, Joe.
Hi, hello, thanks for having me.
You're welcome. So we've got lots to talk about the Aspects and all that kind of thing. So for listeners that maybe not know who you are, could you just describe a little bit about your role at Aspects and what you do there?
Yeah, I'm director of Aspects. We've been celebrating our 40th anniversary this year. So we're sort of Portsmouth's main contemporary art gallery, but we do sort of so much more than that. It's all about reaching out into the community, giving people opportunities to engage with contemporary art. And I've been director of it for 22 years, which is a bit terrifying.
That's a long time. They've been going for 40 years now, haven't they?
Yeah.
So that's amazing.
Yeah, so it's been a bit of a joy this year, you know, aside from all of the obvious. But
the C word, yes, we don't mention the C word.
But, you know, remembering the history and the previous director, Les Buckingham, who still lives in Southsea, he and I cover, I think, 37 of the 40-year history. So we've been doing a series of social media posts, this thing called 40 Stories, which has just come to an end, where we've sort of picked up personal stories and memories of some of our highlights. But we could have carried on, done another 40.
That's on the web page, isn't it? Look at that on the web page, because I had a quick browse. So you've been there for 22 years, and you say between the two of you there's 37 years, which is an amazing thing to keep going that long. But in your tenure there, what have you noticed? What changes have you noticed?
Well, I think it's been extraordinary. The whole kind of journey of contemporary art in society over those 40 years, the way in which the wider public embrace contemporary art into their lives now. I think is really interesting. So Aspects was established very much as an artist-led institution. It was set up by artists. You know, some of them were teachers at the then Portsmouth School of Arts, then became Portsmouth Poly, and now part of the University of Portsmouth, and then and ex-students. And they were looking for a place to work, so they were looking for studios, as artists always are. So hooray for Hot Wolves. But they were also looking for a place to show their work. And so they established an organisation called Artspace Portsmouth, which of course you will both know is still based in the original site at Burham Road. But the gallery side of things, the public facing side of things, was called Aspects Artspace Portsmouth Exhibitions. So,
actually, I didn't know that.
I did not know that.
And that's, I love those little nuggets of information. Yeah, excellent.
So, we, so Aspects was all about showing the work, and then Artspace Portsmouth as an entity was all about artists making the work. And 1981, when we were established, was a time where, you know, in the late 60s and early 70s, you know, artist-led organisations were being sort of popping up all over the country. Places like Arnolfini, Modern Art Oxford, Icon Gallery in Birmingham. You know, so we're part of an infrastructure of organisations that were established at that time. But at that time, we were really talking to ourselves. You know, we were talking to the converted. It was art for artists and art enthusiasts. And then, of course, in my time at the gallery, so I think Tate Modern opened in 2000. I joined Aspects in 1999. And we call it the Tate Modern effect. So, you know, it like really throughout the 90s, you saw a massive growth of visual arts organisations and gallery spaces right across the country. Some incredible places were established. And in Portsmouth, we sort of hadn't quite sort of had that. But then the Tate Modern effect, as people sort of describe it, is when the development of that visitor attraction in London sort of took the public enthusiasm and contemporary art completely through the roof. It was just extraordinary, just on a domestic level, but also on a cultural tourism level. People understood what role arts institutions had to play within a wider cultural economy. And that's why organisations like the Baltic, you know, were all in Gateshead and Newcastle, were all sort of developed to regenerate cities that so that, you know, the cultural economy would start to sort of feed and develop.
Is that how you got into, how did you get into art, Joe? Did you study it at college or, you know, what was the path that you took to get there?
Yeah, well, I think like so many people, it was quite sort of convoluted route. There's not a really, you know, there's not a career.
Is it what you planned to do when you went to university or when you left school? Is you think, oh, that's what I want to get into, or was it, like you say, a convoluted route?
Yes, it was always the only thing, John. Age two, growing up in Horsham in Sussex. No art gallery in Horsham, by the way, you know, at that time. I just told my parents I wanted to be an artist. No idea where that came from. I could, you know, like my parents had never taken me to a gallery. They had never been to a gallery. So I don't come from a family background where, you know, where that was part, culture wasn't part of our lives.
That's interesting, though, isn't it? It's really interesting to hear that.
Well, I can only I can only say that it was probably the TV. It was probably Tony Hart.
Yes.
Oh, I love that.
And immediately I can hear the theme tune going.
Yeah.
Straight away, and, yeah.
Well, how many pictures did I submit for that gallery?
Did you get on there at all?
Did
you
get
Oh, fantastic.
Did you? Oh, yes. That is amazing. I love that.
And I won a competition at school. I had to do a painting for the royal wedding, Charles and Diana. And was that 81 or something?
Yeah, I think it was around that time, wasn't it?
Yeah.
The 80s. Yeah.
And what was really great is that they let me off PE. So that cemented my passion.
Yes, of course. Oh, no cross country for you then.
Oh, I love that. So tell us about the dinosaur, you know, the recent, you know, installation that's now been put onto the South Sea Common. It was a big project that you worked on for a long time. To bring back from the original dinosaur that, you know, burnt down. A lot of local Portsmouth people will have fond memories of the big dinosaur. Mm. But can you talk to us a little bit about that?
Yeah.
There has been some, as there always is, and art installations do attract that as well. There has been some negativity, and we need to be aware of that, don't we, in answer to that, because that's the whole picture. So,
I'm going to pedal back a little bit to last summer, last spring, just after the lockdown, when we were like, oh, God, you know, we're a public building that's closed. What can we do? What can we give our community that will engage them and will interest them that's COVID safe? Mm. And because we were thinking about our anniversary this year, we felt that, okay, what we could do, and it's a year before our 40th anniversary, is celebrate the 10th anniversary of Luna Park, people know as the South Sea Dinosaur. Because you know, it's a 16 meter tall dinosaur.
Yeah. Very impressive.
Created by artists Heather Peake and Ivan Morrison, working with former car factory workers from Serbia.
Oh, I didn't know that.
It was a steel structure with a sort of like polyester resin outer. And it came to South Sea on four flatbed trucks and got pieced together. And it was only ever coming for the summer. And then it was due to go on to Colchester and to Cardiff. Oh. So last year, and then, of course, everyone knows it burnt down. It was devastating. It's like this project, it kind of won't go away for me.
No.
It's like
it's a dinosaur on your back, isn't it?
One of the best things I've ever done in my career, and also one of the most traumatizing. So, you know, last spring, you know, working towards last summer, we're thinking, okay, let's do something to mark the anniversary. Everyone loves this dinosaur. People have asked us, when are you going to bring it back? And I've often talked to the artist and they said, no, it's gone, it's done. But we thought, okay, 10-year anniversary, reasonable length of time. Let's invite the artists to come and do a talk. Let's screen this beautiful film, which is available still on the artist's website. If you go to Studio Morrison, I think it's studiomorrison.com or something like that. They made this beautiful film of the work actually being produced in Serbia. It's called An Unreachable Country, A Long Way to Go. It's utterly stunning. So we simply...
A beautiful country.
Yeah. So we simply wanted to have a talk and screen the film, you know, and have a bit of a conversation about it. And the next thing you know, the artist's going, we could do a virtual reality version. And I'm like, really? Oh, yeah. Because, like, you know, we're all stuck at home. We can't go out. That's a brilliant idea. So We worked with Portsmouth Creates. They gave us a little bit of support so that we could commission Studio Morrison to develop this virtual reality version. And then we started to think, well, what would a lasting tribute to Luna Park look like?
Yeah.
We could never bring back it as at scale,
yeah.
16 metres tall. Because apart from anything else, Portsmouth City Council would never let us have that okay. much
yeah.
of the common permanently, like forever. The common is such an important part of
yeah.
our calendar in the city.
Yeah.
So it's so important for events, and it was massive.
And we're so lucky, aren't we, to have that space right there for everyone to use. It's amazing.
Absolutely. So a single artwork taking over that whole area would be really tricky. But we started to think about, okay, how could we create a sort of sense of presence? So we thought, okay, we could develop a small physical sculpture. But then, kind of inspired by the work we'd already done in virtual reality, create an augmented reality version of the original.
Yeah.
So we were very excited about this, but thought, okay, we're excited about it, but we're only going to do this if the public want it.
Yeah.
So that's why, at the same time as marking the 10th anniversary last year, we did a crowdfunder campaign, Bring Back South Sea Dinosaur.
Yeah.
And 147 people put their hands in their pockets.
Nice.
And contributed. So we raised just over 5,000 on the crowdfunder, and it was matched by 5,000 from the Portsmouth City Council's Community Infrastructure Levy Fund.
Yeah.
And it was only then when we had those pledges from the public did we say, okay, now we're going to go to the Arts Council. We'll write it into our anniversary program. So we're currently midway through a project called Aspects Life Begins at 40, where we've commissioned four artists to make new work for our website in response to sort of our archive and so on. And we felt that that this memorial to Luna Park would be a really sort of fitting part, perfect part of that 40th anniversary celebration. But we wouldn't have gone there if we didn't know the people wanted it.
Yeah.
So you didn't just go out and decide to do it and then put it there. There was a lot of consultation, a lot of funding from people who wanted to see it as well.
Yeah. And I think, and that's really important. There's been some fantastic programs recently on Sky Arts about commissioning landmark sculpture. And there was a really good program a week or two ago, Redressing Sculpture, which is all about thinking about the sculptures that we have in our towns and cities and what do they mean and how the context and the meaning has changed and why people put sculptures up in the first place. And then when they're memorializing perhaps sort of colonialism or people that are involved with slavery and so on, you know, how does that make our multicultural society today feel about their places in the city? So we at Aspects do not take the sighting of a public artwork lightly by any stretch. But John, addressing now your point about sort of negative comments around it, it's a physical sculpture. It's bronze and it's a stone plinth. And it's very small, but it acts as a key or a gateway through a QR code to an augmented reality version of the original scale, complete with Portsmouth City Band playing a soundtrack as you work. So I feel really proud of this work. I feel it's like a beautiful work. Takes me back 11 years to that day when we unveiled the original, and it's a trigger. It's about our memories. It's about talking about it. So the physical sculpture is small. I've gone there. But it's about taking you to that digital version. And we felt that, you know, given that the original was so desperately important, particularly to children and young people in the city at that time, that what could we give those teenagers and those young people that take them back to their memories?
And it's great that it does that whole technological side to it. And let's be honest, people are always going to say, well, either it's too big, too small, too bright, too green. The money could be spent somewhere else, you know. That is always going to happen, I think. But it needs to be taken in context of the value that it gives. And we rightly said there, Joe, you didn't just come and say, oh, we're going to stick this bit of bronze and granite in the middle of here and not ask anyone or tell anyone. We're going to consult and ask. And we were discussing this before we started recording this, you're never, ever going to please everyone. And if you decide to make a piece of art that does that, you're never going to create a piece of art.
And I think also you kind of have to go with it. We're talking obviously it's recently been featured on Have I Got News For You?
Yes, that's right. That's very funny.
Yeah, it's really very exciting in terms of its profile. We're talking a team and we want to encourage people to be creative with it, to have fun with it. It's not a piece of art that's about sort of telling you how to think and feel about the world. No. It's a piece of art that invites you to get involved, to have fun.
And Diplodocus was my favourite dinosaur as well. So
was it?
Yes.
What did you think about when we talked about the hashtag? With the fun element of, you know, the Dino Dog Day, where people have got their little dog next to it, and it's like they're out on their walk, they see the dinosaur, they take. I mean, it's quite a fun element to it, isn't it?
I think it's perfect because as we were developing it, myself, the curator, Vicky Fear, and the artists, Heather Peake and Ivan Morrison, through those discussions, we were saying, okay, well, how big is it going to be? You know, it's really hard to get a sense of scale. And Ivan's saying, oh, yeah, I think it's going to be a 50th of the size. So it is exactly a 0.50 kind of ratio. It's exactly, because it's very precise like that. But we're going, okay, so is it a chihuahua or a golden retriever? So
what was his answer? It could be a baby golden retriever.
It is. Vicky has a sort of chihuahua cross, and it's pretty similar in scale, so it's more chihuahua.
So the dinosaur, which is amazing, and as I said, I've got such fond memories of you know the full size one that we had there, and to see this memorial that remembers that, and it's fantastic. But going forward, then, what have you got coming up? What ideas are running around in that head of yours, and what are aspects going to be delivering in the future?
I think, actually sort of links back to the question earlier about the changes that we've seen. I think the changes that we have seen, following the Tate Modern effect, the cultural, the sort of cultural tourism and all of that kind of thing, the development of big gallery spaces and so on. What we're seeing now is organisations understanding that they need to be of and for their community.
Yeah.
And so community, and this is why this dinosaur project, I should tell you the actual title of it. It's called I Speak for Language, I Stand for History, I Shout for Truth. So a lot of the titles that the Morrisons give is quite complex, but further details are all on our website. That was all about the community. That was about giving the community what they'd asked for over the last 10 years, or 11 now. And what I think we're trying to do is sort of really reach out. So we've just established a young curators group, and we have young people aged 14 to 19 come into the gallery every week to learn about how one commissions and organises a project. And they will be commissioning artists themselves. So please watch out for that early next year. And really sort of looking to develop projects which really continue to push at the bounds of what people think contemporary art practice is. So in the gallery, you'll continue to see quite a lot of digital work, a lot of experimental work, really trying to recognise that the physical gallery space where we're based over as in part of Gunwolf Quay is just a part of what we do as an organisation, what you see on our website or what you experience.
What's the website address, Jo? Is it aspects.com?
Aspects.org.uk.
Org.uk, excellent.
Yeah.
And just to touch on that again, sorry to interrupt. If someone wants to find out, you know, we're talking about find out more. So is that your main hub for this kind of thing, or do you focus on Instagram absolutely. Or what?
Everything can be found on our website,
Okay, great.
Of the events, all of the details. But of course, we're also putting out quite a lot of stuff, as everyone is now, on social media. So Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. We haven't quite done TikTok yet.
No, I
haven't. Oh, you should.
It's dinosaur-related TikTok stuff, maybe.
Yes. I'll have to buy a Diplodocus suit and do a TikTok.
Young people, the community, we run a regular group for people with dementia every Friday morning. That's very, very dear to our hearts. Family Saturdays, drop-in workshops every Saturday. Yeah, it's all about bringing people in. And, you know, as I said earlier, you know, I don't come from a background where contemporary art was part of my life. And so I feel really passionate about making sure that the widest of society gets to experience it. It's not an elitist art form. It's for everyone.
And getting new people in like that, like yourselves, you know, when you were a youngster in Horsham, that hadn't really had any experience or exposure to it. And mainly sort of back then, at that time, I remember that time very well. Contemporary art wasn't the biggest thing in the world, but now it is much more. And getting those younger people in that maybe would not have got involved is an amazing thing to aspire to.
Well, no, when I thought that I wanted to be an artist when I was a kid, and even I went and studied art and design history, and then actually fashion and textiles, and then art and design history. It took me falling by accident into my first job as an exhibition organizer to even understand that exhibitions could be a career, that working in a gallery, being an arts producer could be a career. And it's very hard because sort of creative industries is very sort of fluid. Often they don't involve real like jobs. It's often freelance practice. And so it's very hard, you know, career service at schools. They never understand the sector at all. So I didn't even know that I wanted to do this job until I did it.
Yeah.
It's great that. We're going to mix it up a little bit now. So we're going to ask you a couple of like personal questions. So my first question to you, Jo, is what was the last book that you read that you really loved?
So this again relates to our last 18 months of life. And it's a book called Grounded by Ruth Allen. And it is, I've got it here, How Connection with Nature Can Improve Our Mental and Physical Wellbeing. And absolutely, it's stunningly beautiful. I must say, it's kind of nothing that I didn't already know in my heart.
Yeah.
But it's very reinforcing. There's stunning, stunning photographs in it. And I came to it because she established an Instagram tag last year called Our Grounded Winter to help people to kind of share where they were. And like the first lockdown was awful. I will swear that.
Yep.
Yeah. I was at home with my 9-year-old on my own, and it was, well, he was eight then, seven. And it was really very, very tough. And I was very fortunate that the second lockdown, when we were able to bubble with another family, which quite frankly was a godsend, I bubbled with some dear friends that just relocated back from the US to the New Forest. And I spent that winter in the New Forest. Oh, well, actually, I spent the best part of a year just walking. And it was, you know, it's just being outside.
Yeah.
It's being outside, experiencing the real world. The
podcast people, we our last podcast was all around a trail around Portsmouth and actually finding places that you wouldn't normally go to. And that links in so nicely with your book there. So that was... Yeah, very exciting. So I'm going to give you an unlimited pot of money. Okay. It's like those emails you get in your junk folder, isn't it? Yeah. I'm going to send you $11 million if you send me all your details. Right. And an unlimited pot of money. And you can buy a piece of art, one piece of art for you to hang and to live with in your home. What would that be?
Well, with this unlimited pot of money, I'm assuming I could live in a home that was unlimited in scale.
No, you can't change your home. It's got to fit in your home you have now.
Because the work that I want is a piece that some of your listeners may know, the Weather Project, by a lifer, Olafur Eliasson. And it was shown in the Turbine Hall at the Tate in 2003, and it people know it as the Big Sun.
Right.
Did either of you see it, or do you remember it?
I haven't seen it. I've written it down.
I can't think of the name, and then when I see it, I'll probably remember it.
It
visually
is absolutely amazing. So it's this incredible sort of like sun, and it was created with sort of mono frequency lights, so like the old street lamps that had a sort of yellow cast. Okay. And the whole of the ceiling was mirrored, and this sun shape had a sort of mirror foil with light projected on it. And then there was a like haze machine kind of thing.
Smoke machine.
And it turned the Turbine Hall into kind of like a festival. People laid on the floor. People just experienced it. It was absolutely phenomenal. And this is why, John, I said I need a bigger house.
Would need a bigger house.
I guess I could do a mini version in the front room.
Yeah. And you'd need somewhere to get away from the light, wouldn't you? You couldn't have that constantly on because you'd never sleep.
Oh, but I don't know. It'd probably be good if anyone sort of suffers from, you know, seasonal affective disorder. Yeah. It's just the thing for this time of year, you know.
Yeah,
it's absolutely stunning. He's my favourite all-time artist. I've seen, he actually did have a big retrospective a couple of years ago at the Tate, called In Real Life, but I've seen works in Aarhus in Denmark by him, various other places. You know, he's often working with sort of the sort of elements, and that actually links back to that book Grounded. You know, it's actually art is life, you know. That's I'm passionate about it. It's you know, so sort of feel like I live and breathe my work, contemporary art, but I also live and breathe, you know, the air, the tree, the, you know, the outside world. So and his work really brings those things together for me.
I always ask people, you know, when they like I'll speak to a solicitor and I'll say, oh, do you watch like a law programme or, you know, so when you're sort of involved in that and you work all day, do you ever watch any kind of art programmes or do you kind of stay away from it because you've been doing that all day?
The art, yeah, and some of the art programmes are a bit dire. I did watch this sculpture Redressed, you know, which was good. And I was interested in the Landmark program series, but you know, like, no, generally I find I can't watch art programs for relaxation.
No.
You know, it's like
apart from old Tony Hart.
Yeah, no.
So Portrait Artist of the Year isn't your favourite programme then?
Oh no.
No.
No, not that it's not great. It's just like, no, not for me. It's history or comedy.
Do you sit there critiquing it when they're doing it? Is that what you do?
Yeah. And it's kind of like the whole Portrait Artist of the Year thing is I think really interesting because, you know, we've got some fantastic portrait painters like Carl Riddick in Portsmouth. But, you know, and I really value that work, but I don't really work in that part of the visual art world.
Yeah.
So it's not something I feel all that informed about, really.
Yeah.
Something that kind of connects with me. And I think that's
funny,
what's
isn't it?
Great about contemporary art or any contemporary culture is just because you like music, don't like all music.
Just because you like art doesn't mean you like all art. So you know, there's that landscape one as well, isn't there? So there's lots of stuff that's fairly contemporary and aimed at being very middle ground, isn't it? Because it has to be to maybe be for a bigger audience because that's what they're after. But
that's good.
I'm just always interested in things like that, Joe.
Well, it's been a pleasure, Joe. Thank you so much, and it's so great to see the dinosaur back again. And I think it's a fabulous one thing I haven't done is the virtual reality side of it now. So I'm gonna do that and go down. You say there's a QR code then that you just go through, so, and then it opens up.
Yeah, you just take your phone or your device with your QR code. You do need to have Instagram loaded.
Okay, yeah.
So if you've got Instagram on your phone, and it will automatically open up Instagram, and it will show you the dinosaur back on South Sea Common with beautiful brass band, which is very evocative.
It's good. What happens if somebody's got their phone and they can't get it to work? Is there anywhere that they can go and see the virtual? Is it on the website or does it?
There are images of it on the website.
Yeah.
I'd recommend going as a family, going as a group, friends.
Someone will have a phone, won't they?
Someone will have a one.
Oh, fantastic. Brilliant, Joe.
Yeah, it's been a pleasure. And thank you, Joe. And thank you for all that you do for Portsmouth and for the art. You know, we're lucky, I suppose, aren't we? Because in Southsea especially, we have quite an abundance of people and artists, and long may that continue. So thank you so much for being part of the podcast.
Thanks, Joe. See you soon.
Bye.